Okay, today is Wednesday, December 26th. This is the women's Chumashir. We're at the end of Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Bereishit.
Hey, Rabotai. We are coming to the end of Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Bereishit. And we are up to Pasuk Chaf. Pasuk Chav. Avraham was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his wife Sarah would give birth to a child and they will call him Yitzchak. Avraham spoke to God and he said, Lu Yishmael Yichyel Lefanecha. Halavai, I hope that Yishmael will at least live. Yishmael Lefanecha will live. We explained that a couple of times. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Sarah Ishtecha Yoledet Lecha Bein V'Karat Shmo Yitzchak V'Hakimoti Et Brito Ito Lebrit Olam L'Zarach Harav. And then God says, Uli Yishmael Shmaticha. I heard your concerns about Yishmael. Hine Beirachti Oto. I did bless him. V'hifreiti oto, and I will enable him to multiply and be fruitful. V'hirbeiti oto b'me'od me'od. He will expand enormously, will Yishmael. Shneim asar nisi'im yolid. He will give birth to 12 princes. Unitatim l'goy gadol. And he will become an enormous nation. Fine. So, not only does God respond to Avraham's concern that Yishmael is not going to live. Remember, that was Avraham's concern. Lu Yishmael Yichyel Lefanecha, that perhaps he'll die now that he has Yitzchak. Not only will he survive, but he will flourish incredibly well. 12, why? Because he's paralleling it to Yaakov, the 12 Shvatim. But we'll see how Rashi interprets this in a second. Yeah. So take a look at Rashi. Shneim asar nisi'im. Now, if I had not looked at Rashi, I would have no difficulty explaining what the word Nisi'im means. No difficulty whatsoever. We see the word Nasi all the time. A Nasi is a prince, Nasi of Shevet Yehud. There are 12 Nisi'im. That's what there are. And they're mentioned in a variety of locations. So why is Rashi bothered so much and that he has to, as usual, rely on a midrash and not simply accept the pshat? And what's bothering Rashi is that if we are going to establish some parallelism between Yishmael as a child of Avraham and Yitzchak as a child of Avraham, inasmuch that they will both have 12 children who will turn into great nations, says Rashi, there is going to be a significant difference between the two. How are the Shvatim initially identified? They are not called Nisi'im when Yaakov gives birth to them. We read it last week. You couldn't have forgotten it. It says, Kol Eile Shivtei Yisrael. They are called the 12 tribes. So why is it that the Torah deliberately does not use the word tribes in relationship to Yishmael? Why call them Nisi'im? That's what's bothering Rashi. Why does the text identify them not as Shvatim, but rather as Nisi'im? So Rashi feels that the word Nasi happens to give us an opportunity to think about another word which will be not terribly positive about these 12. What word does Rashi associate with the word Nesiim? Says Rashi, look at Rashi, Ki ananim. Maze ananim, clouds. How does he get to Nesiim, clouds? Because there is a pasuk in Mishle that says, he quotes it, Nesiim veruach. Nesiim veruach. It's talking about winds and clouds. That's what Mishle is talking about. Don't worry about what he's referring to. So the word Nasi conjure up the image of a cloud. Now what is so special about the cloud?
They go away.
They go away. Yichlu. They're going to disappear. So although there will be tremendous might initially offered to Yishmael, eventually what's going to happen, they're not going to remain as a shevet, as Am Yisrael remains. What is the basic word shevet mean? We also read this last week. Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda. What does shevet mean? The staff, the rod, exactly. Indicating power, dominance. Am Yisrael always going to have that. However, therefore they are called shvatim. And the chief shevet for that is Shevet Yehuda, where it says, Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda. However, the 12 children who will develop into a great nation of the people of Yishmael are never going to be identified, says Rashi, as Shvatim, but rather as Nisiim, creating the image of our mind as if they were clouds who are here now, and then Mitamul, they're not here any longer. They disappear instantly. So that's what Rashi is saying. Nisiim ke'ananim yichlu, like clouds who ultimately dissipate, that's what they're going to have. And in fact, we know that, what is this a reference to, if Rashi is correct? What is this a reference to? When is Yishmael going to disappear? When? That's at the end of time. With the times of, far from it now. And in fact, right now, you know, there are very, very powerful. Very powerful.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Clouds can also mean warning that something bad is going to happen.
Okay, that's yes.
War.
That's correct. That's also possible. Yes. No doubt. So that's Rashi's point. That is Rashi's point. Yeah. If you take a look, for example, at say that didn't happen right away. If you look at it's page 10a, it's above, it's right underneath the Rav Sadia Gaon. It says Reish Chet Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel. And he writes, Uli Yishmael Shmaticha Unetativ Ligoy Gadol, Ra'inu Shenit Achra Haftacha Zulahem, Alpayim Shin Lamed Gimel Shana. The fulfillment of this promise that Yishmael is going to blossom into a great nation was delayed for 2,333 years. Velo haya ichuram talui ba'avonam. When did Islam get off the ground? When did Islam get off the ground? In the 7th century. Exactly. So Rabbeinu Hananel, who lived 4 centuries later, knows some history, and he knows that the blossoming of Islam, which are the children of Yishmael, although God promises them right here, for some reason it was delayed. They did not materialize into a great nation initially. However, do not believe that the reason why it was delayed is on account of the fact that they may have been guilty of transgression. Where do we find that guilty of transgression delays something. Delays something. That until you're guilty of transgression, so we had this once in a Rashi. What happened? Remember why God said, Vidor Rivi'i Yashuvu Hena? God tells Abraham, you yourself, you might be living in Israel, in Eretz Canaan at the time, but you're not going to live here permanently. When will your children come back? Not the second generation, Yitzchak, not the third generation, Yaakov. It's only their children. Dor Rivi'i Yashuvu Hena. That's what we read that pasuk in Lech Lecha. And who remembers why Dor Rivi'i?
Because they didn't fulfill their punishment. They didn't do bad enough things.
Correct. Lo Nishlam Se'atam. Their basket was not yet full enough of Averot that the locals should be dispelled from their land. They was not. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got a certain system, and he measures. If X, you get Y, and so on and so forth. So once it was Nishlam Sa'atam, then they were punished. Says the Rabbi Hananel, I can't explain why, as to why this was delayed 2,333 years, I can't explain it. V'hayu mitzapim la kol hashanim halalu. All of Yishmael's descendants were eagerly awaiting the fulfillment of this particular promise. V'sof sof ba'a v'nitkaima. Eventually it came, and they mushroomed and blossomed into one of the most, you know, powerful segments of the world. V'achar kein nitchazka hamalchut biyadam. Not only did Muhammad introduce Islam, but eventually, what did the Islamic kingdom do? It took over control over good parts of the world. They controlled. Good, they invaded, yes, and took control of parts of the world. Anu shenitla menu mimenu ba'avonenu, we, our kingdom that was taken away from us as a result of what? Our transgressions. V'sam zmano elef shlosh me'ot u'shloshim. How many years will it take to restore the malchut of Am Yisrael? How many years? 1,330 years. He bases this on a pasuk in Daniel, that after the Churban Bayit Sheni, 1,300 years later, Malchut Yisrael is going to be reestablished. I don't think he got the number exactly right. Even if you wanted to refer to Medinat Yisrael, it is not 1,300 years after Churban Bayit Sheni, which took place in the year 70, in the first century. So we have 1,800 years, almost 1,900 years, to the restoration of Malchut Yisrael. And so don't blame the Rabbeinu Hananel. That was Daniel's cheshbonot. Daniel's cheshbonot. So, and nonetheless, alachas kama v'kama shenihiyeh mitzapim lehavtachato v'lo mityaesh. A lot of times, people get a little upset, and they give up hope. They, we're praying for Mashiach every day, three times a day, and he's not coming. So you engage in a little despair. Says Rabbi Hananel, we should learn something from Yishmael. He waited a very long time for this promise to be fulfilled. So certainly, we who trust the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we certainly should not give up hope, and then necessarily keep our faith that this Haftacha, that Am Yisrael's Malchut will be restored, will undoubtedly be fulfilled as well. And in fact, many have stated that the reason why along our historical time period there have been Gedolei Yisrael who have engaged in predicting when Mashiach was coming. So the Rav once commented, and he said, if they were to rise from their grave, they would be the first one to acknowledge that they had no idea what they are talking about. So why did they do it? Because people couldn't wait ad infinitum to retain loyalty under incredibly difficult conditions. So you would be willing to engage in fidelity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if at least you knew your great-great-grandchildren are going to experience the Messianic Age. And there were a lot of people. The Ramban Birosham. The Ramban said, Mashiach is coming 500 years after I die. That got us into a lot of trouble with Shabtai Tzvi. A lot of people felt, how can the Ramban make a mistake? And it got us into a lot of trouble. And the Ramban wasn't the only one who said, you know, when he's coming. And even the Rambam speculated exactly what's going to happen at the time of Melech HaMashiach. At the end of his monumental work, Mishneh Torah, he starts writing, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And again, he had no idea what's going to happen. He just trying to outline for us that if I know it's going to happen, or I say it's going to happen, eventually it's going to happen. Don't give up hope. Says the Rabbeinu Hananel, if Mishmael was lo nityaesh, we should not be nityaesh as well. And it's
implying that if Mishmael stopped believing, it wouldn't have happened.
Oh,
that's an interesting point. If Yishmael had given up hope, would it have happened or not? That's an interesting point. That's a very that is a very prominent, that's a very profound thought. I don't know. We make an emphasis when we daven Shmona Esrei, you just said the words, that we are mitzapim li Yeshua, if you daven the Sfar. Right? What do we say? We only daven Ashkenaz. So we say, Esemach David Acham Atzmir, Kenatam Yeshua, Ki li Shuascha kivinu kol ayon. But the Sfar adds two more words. Umitzapim li Yeshua. We're eagerly waiting. We can't wait. Can't wait till it comes. And that's a very good point. It's omed al haperek. It stands to reason that if you are not interested, if you abandon hope, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to provide any sense of redemption if we don't believe in it, if we don't, we have no interest in it coming? So Chazal made sure that, you know, that we would always keep it in mind by putting it at the end of Shmon Esrei. But that's point number two of Rabbeinu Hananel. Yes. Then, if you go to page 10a on the bottom, I'm surprised nobody asked me why it's 10. Because Eli had won a really good game this week. Really good game. We don't know how many more he's going to have. He may not be around next year at all. So he has one more game. And that's it. We don't know. So we have to be makar tov to what he's given Giant fans. What? He's number 10. Yeah, Eli. Eli. Yes. So, says the Chizkuni, Uli Yishmael Shmaticha, Sha'avarchen, I will bless Yishmael. Avolo echrot Biriti imo, but no covenant will be established between myself and Yishmael. However, says God, quoting himself in the next pasuk, Avol biriti akim et Yitzchak. I will establish, as is written in pasuk Chafalef, the very next pasuk, the et biriti akim et Yitzchak. Asher telei b'chasara l'moed hazeh b'shana acheret. Although I am promising very similar to that which I just blessed you, Avraham, I will bless you, I will multiply you, you'll become a great nation, so will Yishmael. But there will be one fundamental difference. There is no establishment with a covenant between Yishmael and Yitzchak. Yitzchak has the covenant, Yishmael has no covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm going to show you a comment in just a second that Rashi makes on that very next pasuk. I'm going to read it again, pasuk Chaf Aleph. Read it again. Then we're going to see the comment. Ve'et v'riti akim et Yitzchak, asher teleid lecha sara la'moed hazeh. I will establish the covenant with Yitzchak, who will be born to Sarah in about a year. We'll see what la'moed hazeh. Bashana ha'acheret, next year. And that the play on la'moed hazeh bashana ha'acheret is a little, you know, we'll see how, we'll talk about that in a second. Talk about that in a second. But first, take a look at, no, she doesn't say it. Yes, it's Rashi in Pasuk Yutet. It's not written in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. If you go previously in Rashi Pasuk Yutet, after it says, "V'hakimosi et bri'iti ito v'loim acherim," said Rashi. Look at, it says in Pasuk Yutet that it already says, "Sara ishtecha yoledet lecha ben v'karata shmo Yitzchak." So all of the information, namely, that what? That God will establish a covenant only with Yitzchak, and not with whom? Yishmael, is already indicated in Pasuk Yutet. And then, it says it according to, we just read Chizkuni, it says it again. Why? How does Chizkuni know it's? Because it says, Beriti akim et Yitzchak. Look at, that's in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Why is Chizkuni compelled to tell us that, how do I know that the covenant is only going to be with Yitzchak? Because of what's written in Chaf Aleph. Ve'et b'riti akim et Yitzchak. It said it already in Yutet, those very same words. Sarah Yishtecha is going to give birth to a child. You're going to call him Yitzchak, and I will establish my covenant with him, Ito, Ulizaro Acharav, and Rashi comments, Velola Acherim. That's why it says Ito, with him to the exclusion of all others. So why do I need a reference to the phrase which opens up Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Ve'et Beriti Akimit Yitzchak? So look at Rashi now, Ve'et Beriti Akimit Yitzchak, and Rashi says something incredibly sharp. It's not his own, it's a medrash, but it says something. Why will I establish my covenant only with Yitzchak and not with whom? Yishmael. Says Rashi, Ve'et Beriti Akimit Yitzchak, Lama Ne'emar. Why is this written? It says it previously. I just read it to you in Yutet. Answers Rashi. Ella. Lomeid Shahaya Kadosh Mibeten. Kadosh Mibeten. Yitzchak was sanctified from the time he was in the womb. From the time he was in the womb. So now I'm going to say something. If you have ever been to a bris, you will have heard these words stated by whoever that was honored to recite the bracha right after the brit milah. The moel makes the bracha, asher kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al hamilah. Father makes a bracha, I should have photostated the siddur for you, but you can remember it. Father makes the bracha, asher kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lehachniso bivrito shel Avraham Avinu. Because it's the father's obligation. The moel is performing the action. So he says, al hamila. And in fact, if the moel circumcises his own son, he says, asher kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lomul et bini. It doesn't just say, al hamila. He says, I am commanded to circumcise my son, because that's the mitzvah. But if the parent can't do it, and if the wife is smart enough not to let the husband do it, who thinks he knows how to do it, under those circumstances, so the bio makes it. But the father then says, Lahachniso b'vrito shel Avraham Avinu. Then The Mael makes the, did the snippy snippy. Now he wraps the kid up in the little blanket, takes the kid from the sandik, gives it to somebody to hold the baby during the naming, and the two brachot that are recited prior to the naming. One is by Pri Hagafen, because we're drinking a coffee. By Pri Hagafen. Drinking wine. Good. The next one starts. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Asher Kidesh Yedid Mibeten. Asher Kidesh Yedid Mibeten. God who sanctified his friend from the time that he was conceived in his mother's womb. Good. So the Midrash says that's exactly the Rashi Tevot of Akim. Ve'et Beriti Akim Asher Kiddushanu Asher Kiddush Yedid Mibeten Akim. So Rashi is quoting this here to let us know why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed decided that Yitzchak would have the covenant established with him and not necessarily Yishmael. In case Avram would ask, you know, my first child is Yishmael. Right now he still seems to be a very fine yeshiva bachur. He's not. He's never been accused thus far of doing anything wrong. So why can't I have my... So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answering him. If I'm going to establish a covenant with someone, it's going to be someone who is described in the following fashion. Horato bikdusha veleidato bikdusha. When the Torah says vatahar, what does vatahar mean? She conceived. Then, vatele, she gave birth. I want the conception to take place, bikdusha, and the birth to take place, bikdusha. Avraham was not, when was Yitzchak conceived?
After his Mila.
Exactly. After his Mila. That's why Yitzchak is considered kadosh mibeten imo, sanctified. Because the first child to be born after the mitzvah brit milah, and the first child to have his circumcision on day 8 was Yitzchak. And here Rashi is telling us that's why that second pasuk appears. Why does it say again ve'et b'riti akim et Yitzchak after it already says in Yutet v'hakimoti et b'riti ito? Because I just, in Pasuk Chaf, what happened? God said, Yishmael's going to be a great nation. He's going to have 12 great tribes. But I want to advise you. 12 great tribes he's going to have. But no covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'et b'riti akim et Yitzchak. Why not with Yishmael? Because he was not kidesh yedid mibeten. Asher kidesh yedid mibeten. And the Midrash often uses, this is what's called note recon, where you see certain letters that stand for something else. We have that all over Shas, or thousands of such applications in the Midrash. So Rashi here takes advantage of it, Shahaya Lomed, Shahaya Kadosh Mibeten. And Rashi's not the only one. Many of the Parshanim make use of that particular drash. And that's the reason why it is the bracha which we use at the Brit Milah. We don't refer to Avraham's in this bracha. We don't refer to Yaakov, but it's only Yitzchak because he was the very first in this particular regard. That's Rashi's question and answer. I'm not saying it's the best answer in the world, but the question blight Akasha. Why is it necessary again to tell us at Briti Akim et Yitzchak when he just got finished saying it 2 seconds ago? 2 seconds ago. Yes?
Practically speaking, what's the difference? Yishmael was also a very good doll and he continues for generations, and so he doesn't have the brit with Hashem.
That's why Rabbeinu Hananel says, what's going to happen to them eventually?
That's the only difference.
That's the only difference. The Brit with Am Yisrael guarantees we will never disappear. Yishmael will rise and decline.
Yeah.
Right. We don't know exactly. It would not mind if it would happen a little faster. It wouldn't help. It wouldn't hurt, rather, if it would happen a little more quickly. Yes, question. Yeah. That's an interesting. The question is, why is it that amongst our Cheinu B'nai Yisrael, Hasirians, they have a rabbinic edict from the 1930s never to accept a convert?
Oh, really?
Never to accept a convert. And in the Syrian community. So Rachel is asking, is it because they're looking to have only children who are horatam veledatam bikdusha, their conception and their birth? And if you're a convert, obviously your birth and your conception was not bikdusha. That's an interesting, but then that would have been their policy for 2,000 years. It has not been. It's more of a practical consideration. They don't want to have any situations where people are marrying, are converting because of marriage. They're converting for this reason, for that reason. They don't want to go through the trouble of verifying, is the person sincere, is not sincere. And there's been a lot of criticism of their policy, but they maintain it. They will not allow such a child into their schools. They will not allow the person to be buried in their cemetery. Even though he's a Ger Tzedek. He's a Ger Tzedek. They will not allow him to be buried in their cemetery. The child will not. They will not allow to use their mikveh for the conversion of a baby. When I taught in Deal, so somebody, a family there, did not have a child. So they adopted a child. And they asked the rabbi there, can we use the mikveh to... No. I had to bring him to Teaneck. From Deal, to use the mikveh to convert the child. They don't want to have anything to do with Gerim. Yeah.
I have a question about...
Yes.
I thought you were Jewish because your mother was Jewish.
Yes.
I know that's a recent development.
2,500 years minimum. But we're talking about a convert, somebody who's born to a Gentile.
Before this, before your conversion question,
right?
The Syrian question, what about if Abraham had been circumcised, but so that made him a Jew, and he gave, and then Yitzhak inherits Canaan, and,
right,
and the Jewish people. But if there is a non-Jewish father and a Jewish woman who gives birth to the child, that child...
Today, that child is Jewish. That's
so
correct.
That child will become also inherit Canaan.
Okay. The answer is yes. Okay, it's true. And as you correctly hinted, initially, before Ezra,
yeah,
in all probability, there was patrilineal descent, even according to Yahadut.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yes, in all probability. Yes. And the reason why Ezra changed it was because many of the Jewish men were taking Gentile wives and saying, my kids are going to be Jewish. That's why he did it. So he switched it and said, okay, no more patrilineal descent, only matrilineal descent. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Right. Right.
And they look at it differently. I think it's just interesting. We're talking about Yishmael and
yes,
that sense of malchut.
Correct. Yes, 100%. If you go to page 10F for 1 second, there's a Midrash Yilamdenu that echoes it, but I just want to show you the second half of it, which he states. It's the next to the last line. For ha'acharon haba b'sof hashneim asar, and the last one of the children of Yishmael, the last of the 12 children, yiyeh chagar. What's a chagar? What? Is about. It means he will be girded for war.
Yeah.
Girded for war. V'yigzor gzeirot kashot ba'olam. What? Every word came to. What does that mean? He will make, they will make very harsh decrees upon the rest of the world. And they believe that their time is predicated upon convincing as many people as possible, Jew, Gentile alike, Catholic makes no difference, to accept Islam. V'yamav mu'atin. But his days are numbered, not too many. Umitgadelet malchuto ba'acharon. And this guy, this 12th one, will expand what? His kingdom. Shine'emah unetativ l'goy gadol. But ve'et b'riti akimit Yitzchak hare ge'ula matchelet Yisrael. As soon as what happens? As soon as Am Yisrael starts what? Starts what?
Being
redeemed. When God says us our time to be redeemed, what happens to him? He disappears. And Chazal see that there cannot be both of us triumphant at the same time. Either they are triumphant and we are on the down, or we are on triumphant and they are on their way down. So until 1940s, we saw we were on the way down. They may have been on the rise. Hopefully the trend is reversing now. Yeah.
There's so many different events.
That is true. That's correct. That's true. Now, go to page 10E for a moment. And this is a comment of Rav Chaim Brisker, the Rav's grandfather. It's not a pshat in a pasuk. He's going to use it and create a philosophical halachic category based on this issue of the interaction between Yitzchak and Yishmael. There are Yishmael, as we will read in a couple of psukim, performed the mitzvah of the brit just as Yitzchak did. In fact, before Yitzchak did. We are told right away, Yishmael circumcised himself in according to the text even before Avram. Even before Avram. So why is it that we don't look at Yitzchak, at and they historically, Muslims circumcised themselves. They never abandoned that. They followed the Brit. That Tishmoret Briti, to guard and observe my Brit. So he asks Rav Chaim, why aren't they considered in the promise of whatever somebody observes the Brit is doing? And he answers in the following hair-splitting way. Typical Brisker. He says, there are two aspects to a relationship. One is that you don't defile the agreement. You don't defile the agreement. Two people make a relationship, a covenant, a treaty. So there are two ways to observe that treaty. One is simply by not desecrating it. So I'm not going to attack you, you don't attack me, but I have no interest whatsoever in what? In your welfare, your concern, but I didn't desecrate the covenant. Then there is another type of relationship where not only do we not attack each other, but because we signed the covenant, I take an interest in what you're doing, what you're saying, and so on and so forth. So just now, substitute the you and me, it's you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Yishmael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the medium which he asked us to observe is the Brit Milah. So Rav Chaim says, Yishmael has not transgressed the covenant. They circumcise every child. But what have they not done? They haven't fulfilled the covenant. That's a good analogy. In other words, have they used the Brit Milah as a symbol to them to strive to follow God's way of life, anything beyond the Brit Milah? No. No. So although they have not desecrated the covenant, they haven't understood what the covenant really means that we should aspire to. And that's why the Pasuk emphasizes Ve'et Beriti Yitzhakim Lahakim Vahakimoti. Yitzchak is going to not only fail to desecrate the covenant. What's he going to do? He'll fulfill the aspirations, the dreams of that which a person believes is ultimately the reason for establishing this covenant. That was fulfilled by Yitzchak, and hence, although technically Yishmael is involved in Brit Milah, they have not used that as a catalyst to somehow buying into the mitzvot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if you wanted to say they're not obligated to observe 613, which they are not, but at least the Sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach. Don't kill anybody. Don't loot their property. Don't, you know, have courts to establish and honor your commitment to observe the Sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach and not pay off terrorists like they're doing today. Fine. That's Reb Chaim says that on those bracketed lines. Again, it's an introducing, and that's why he says the Briti Akim, Akim et Yitzchak, because Yitzchak will be Vahakimoti et Briti as well. Let's move on. Now, let's take a look at the end of Pasuk Chaf Aleph. When will Sarah give birth? Asher teled lecha Sarah lamoed hazeh bashana ha'acheret. So, what phrase seems to be totally superfluous in these five words? Obviously, we know she's not giving birth tomorrow morning. Moed hazeh, what does moed technically mean? In this time. So everybody knows she's not giving birth right now. Everybody knows that. So here, when it says la moed hazeh ka'et chaya ul sarah bein, it says that in Vayera as well, it means around this time. So if it's around this time, it's quite obviously next year. So why does it have to say l'shana acheret? So take a look for a second. I bracketed for you. On page 10b, we'll start with Chizkuni. Chizkuni writes on page 10b, Lamoed hazeh b'shana acheret. Amar Rav Huna b'shem Rav Idi. Rav Huna said the name of Rav Idi. Ota shana me'uberet hayta. That year was a leap year. And therefore, Piresh, mimoed limoed heveshana achat. From one year to the next is exactly 12 months. That's exactly 12 months. Aval vehu koreota shana acheret. And he calls it what? Next year. Why? Mipnei chodesh ha'ibur sheni tosaf ba. Because there was an extra month added, so it's not even 12 months within this year, it's 13 months out of the normal year. Is there any, first of all, the whole thing is a little bizarre, because there was nobody sanctifying the months, so that Beis Din should decide we have to add a leap year because we want to rectify the solar and the lunar calendar. That's one of the reasons, the primary reason why we have a leap year. There are six reasons, according to the Gemara, for having a leap year. One of them is because the roads need a lot of paving, and if you're not going to have paved roads, people are not going to travel well to Yerushalayim. So if Beis Din sees, we need the crew, the maintenance crews, to repair the roads, we'll just make an extra Adar and delay it. There are a couple of reasons, but the primary reason is obviously to jive the lunar and the solar calendar. So what message do you think Chizkuni is trying to tell us, that Yitzchak happened to have been born in a leap year? Why is that so significant for us? He's obviously trying to tell us a message. I don't have a good answer. I'm asking you, all the great darshanim in this room, darshanot. Yes.
That in honor of Sarah's pregnancy, the year was pregnant also after all.
Wow. Very nice. Very poetic. Yes. Very nice. What do you want to say? Yeah? Whatever you're going to say is going to be good. Yeah?
But Avram's been disappointed again and again and again and again.
Right.
So now, if it doesn't seem to happen exactly, he's going to say, another disappointment. So he says, this time, next year, exact, and it's not three, you finally reach the end game. Mm-hmm. So he's being very specific.
Okay. Okay. Very specific. Good. Fine. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. Is the word ibur is the same thing as a woman who is giving birth? Yes. And ubar is a child in embryo. That's no, but it's okay. That's good. That's very good. Very good. Yes. The word ibur is meaning a child, an unborn child, and ibur hashana means a leap year. It's the same word. Yes.
That's what you said.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So they were even older.
No, they were young.
They were young. Oh, they have left. Oh, okay. Interesting. Good. Okay. I just saw the comment and I asked you, what's happening here? What's happening here? Yeah, I thought I saw somebody else also say something. No. Yeah. It's something you have to think about. Why does it have to say Bishana Acheret? Yeah. Let's move on. One more pasuk. Vayechal Lidaber Ito. Pasuk Chapet. Vayechal Lidaber Ito. Vayaal Elohim Me'al Avraham. God finished talking with Avraham, and God lifted himself, left from Avraham. This is a most unusual phrase. It appears, I know I told this to you once, it appears in Parshat Vayera, Vayelech Hashem ka'asher kila ledaberim Avraham. So go to the end of chapter 18. Correct. So, but here you're going to have to say something else. It happens only twice in the Chumash. Because normally when God finishes speaking with somebody, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? No. That's if he's in a dream. But what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do when he's finished?
He just goes.
Goes to Dunkin' Donuts for a coffee. Goes to a ball game. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to do. So he speaks to Moshe hundreds of times, and it doesn't say when he finished talking that God's leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
He spoke to every Navi. It never says this. Only twice in the Chumash. Both with Avraham.
But the stone doesn't hear anymore.
Correct. That's what Rabbi Kanatopsi said. I remind you of that. That at that time, Rashi, so it says, Vayelech Hashem ka'asher kila ledaber m'Avraham, v'Avraham shav l'mkomo. So, Rabbi Tanitovsky suggested that Avraham, at least according to the written text, did not ask for anything below 10. Below 10. 10 in the prayer for Sodom. If you'll find 50, 45, 40, right? He was looking at his football field. He's at the 20. He's at the 10. That's where he was. After 10, he stopped asking. So Rashi says, why did he stop asking? Because he noticed that during the time of the flood, there were 8 righteous people, Noah, 3 sons and their wives, and God's presence is number 9, and he still did not spare the rest of the world, despite the fact that there were 9 positive forces in this world. So when he asked for 10, if you find 10, Ribbono Shel Olam, please spare the world. Spare Sodom and Amorah. Spare them. Less than that, he knew, he has no argument. That's how Rashi interprets it. Said Rabbi Kanatopsky, Avraham had one more question to ask. The original question. Ha'aftispe tzadik im rasha? Are you going to allow one righteous person to be killed with the entire Sodom and Amorah? Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo ya'aseh mishpat? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu anticipated that question and said, I'm out of here. Because that's exactly, that's a question which God knows we're all asking, and he has nothing to say that we will comprehend.
But he wants us to ask.
He knows we're going to ask that question. But he does not feel, the way this world is constructed, that he can give us a satisfactory answer.
Does that explain the concentration camp?
That's the same question that you want to ask about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to tell us why he allowed such a thing to happen. He won't. But the question is a legitimate one. Avraham wanted to ask it. So how does the Torah tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu avoided it? Vayelech Hashem, kasher kilal. I'm finished with you, Avraham. No more questions. It's one of the most powerful interpretations I've ever heard. Here you can't say that.
When is the other time? Is it Vayelech?
No, right here.
Here's the
first time. That's the second time. The end of Vayera. One more chapter later. It's the end of chapter 18. We even have a chance of getting to that reasonably soon. Vayechal daver. So what's happening here? Okay, so we don't. Oh, good. So some explain that what's happening here was Avraham wanted to engage in Brit Milah right here and now, but he felt it would be inappropriate to do so in the presence of God standing right there.
Like modesty.
A modest thing. He felt I'm just telling you what some say to answer this question. So what happened? What does Avraham do? What does he do? When God decides to leave, what's the next phrase? Vayikach Avraham Yishmael Beno, he starts circumcising all of them. And then, in next one, everybody is circumcising themselves as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves. And they believe, as you just suggested, that Avraham is concerned from an aspect of tzniut. That's what many will say as to why it says vayechal ledaber imo. And vayamar, not the most compelling. Now I'm going to look at Rashi and see how Rashi handles this particular idea. Take a look at Rashi. Me'al Avraham. Lashon Nikiya, says Rashi. Lashon Nikiya. This is a very appropriate
euphemism.
What? A euphemism, yes, an appropriate language. Klapei Shechina. It's just trying to state that although the Shekhinah, that's how everybody interprets Rashi, was actually standing right next to Avraham, but the Torah says, Vayal Elohim me'al Avraham, from on top of Avraham. What imagery do we use? That God is standing on top of you? So Rashi says, yes. If you want to, if you're already going to imagine what it means, God visiting somebody, the image that you have to use, that God is on top of you. He never lowers himself to be sitting next to you, right next door. That doesn't happen. So Vayal Avram, but it doesn't tell us why he'd say it in the first place. But then Rashi continues, Vilomadnu Shahatzadikim Merkavto Shel Makom. What does that mean? Merkav, Masan Merkav? What? The chariot. He's the train. The tzaddikim are the chariots of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu get around from place to place? Not like Santa with this magic chariot. See, that's it. Who are the chariots who carry around HaKadosh Baruch Hu from place to place? Tzaddikim. So Rashi now claims this phrase is here to establish a principle and a very important message. The task of the tzaddik is not only to remain a tzaddik for himself or herself. The task of the tzaddik is to ferry HaKadosh Baruch Hu around from place to place and bring the divine presence through his or her behavior, through their actions. That's how Melo Chol Haaretz Kivodo. Melo Chol Haaretz Kivodo. And here we are establishing for the very first time this particular idea. And the Chumash mentions that's exactly why God did not respond to Noach whatsoever. Because he never asked to save anybody, nor did he express any interest in saving anybody. And hence, Noach was a tzaddik for himself. That's about it. But no influence on, you know, and that's why the Torah emphasized, if you remember, we did it at the, right after the Rishani of Noach, Ki otcha ra'iti tzaddik lefanai bador hazeh. You're a tzaddik.
Just you.
You had no impact whatsoever on somebody else. So Rashi here is claiming, why is this phrase used? Again, it's not the pshat. That if you want to know what is man tzaddik's mission in this world, to serve as the merkava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the train of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it uses this expression, Vaya'al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and where is he sitting? On Avram's shoulders, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Avram's going to transport him around from place to place. We'll stop here and continue next devach. Yes.
Yeah. Isn't it appropriate to not stand over the kollel because the Shekhinah?
It's hovering. Yes. Quoted in Shekhinah.
So you yes. have to sit next to
the Shekhinah. That is 1,000.
Oh, the opposite.
Yes. Yes. Right. God's hovering over him. Therefore, it's Vayah. When you lift.
He was sitting next to him.
All right. Or right on top of him.
Yes.
You don't know.
Not a lot of people
in all probability.
I know.
Yeah.
Thank you.